Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you want to know more about inner Earth? Sometimes we call it Metal Earth. But however you want to call it, it's the same thing. And again, I have our inner Earth expert because he's been there and can tell us so much, and he's ready to tell us a whole lot more. In the next half hour. Lowell Johnson, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thanks, Peter. It's always good to be back here. It seems like we get together like once a month now, but that's just the nature of things, isn't it?
I think it's important, actually, that we have this connection and communication because I think for both of us, because we both are having experiences that support each other. And can talk about it. And as I was telling you before the show, that I've had some amazing experiences with beings from inner Earth who have visited me. We'll talk about it because it was powerful and life-changing. And your life changed greatly when you visited there. And now you're, for some reason, everybody is more and more excited about it. And I think that's because consciousness is shifting and people are tuning more into important energies that they feel within themselves. And many, probably many of our audiences have had lifetimes there and are drawn to know more about it. Or maybe are going to have future lifetimes there and don't know it, but their souls know it. And so also interested in learning about it more. And so, and you were saying earlier that you're learning about, not that you visited those, but you're learning about other cities that we know are there, because there are many of them. And so let's talk.
I agree with all the things that you were saying at the beginning. I am certain that every soul has lived in those other civilizations. Some resonate more with it. They're triggered in ways that they don't really understand if they haven't been around it. I know what I could tell you about Lemurians and Telos, you could fit in a pop bottle, before I had my experience. And looking back on it, I was pretty freaking blindsided living this life in this incarnation and understanding what I thought I understood about the nature of the world and anything beyond it. Well, when they kind of tap you on the shoulder so that you get your vibration to rise, you can experience things in that realm, wow. Then it just compounds. An experiencer, at least in my case, doesn't have one experience. It's kind of here's your first multidimensional experience, get used to it. And
Yeah.
then we're going to open up the door to more of these opportunities because we want you to help others in the same way. Just get themselves open and ready for these things. Not like you said at the beginning of the show, not that you're here to change anybody's mind, because we're not. We're sovereign beings with our own free will, and we're going to make our own damn decisions. However, you and I have been given wisdom that we're meant to pass along to others. And
Right.
then what they do with it after that and how they discern is their job. My obligation's been satisfied once I passed along the information that I found is true. Here it is for you. It's up to you. If it doesn't jive with you, bless your heart. I send you love and light on your way. But I know what is about to change here soon. And
Right.
my job is to assist others to open up their eyes. If you don't get it, great. Love you. I'm on to the next one because there are people that are being triggered in this way and they don't understand why.
I know, it's
I was
amazing.
given this stuff
Yeah.
to assist them along the way.
And also, we're not ready for everybody just to have this experience that you had, because as we were talking about before the show, is that you were on Mount Shasta, and so your frequencies were high enough by just being there, and you were also a soul who's prepared to have those high frequencies, but on Mount Shasta they were high enough that you were in a state where you could visit them.
I think that's really a good way to characterize it. Yes, it's true that my vibration was higher than most, but you're right. There's something about Mount Shasta. And after being there now for 4 years, there's something that you just plug into. It's almost like there's a patch cord that you plug into that you feel. Now, I've been there enough. I know the difference when I'm there and I'm not there. And there's something energetically charged on that mountain. And it just, like you said, I think it takes somebody that's already vibrating a high level, like supercharges it to the next level.
Right. So that's, and that's Mount Shasta. Now, I've been visited by beings from middle or inner earth recently, 4 times. And I'm in New York City. And they want me to, they said that when I'm ready, because New York City doesn't have a Mount Shasta vibe. So I have to, they're actually creating it in me. And their visitations have charged my frequencies to an unbelievably high level already. And I'm trying to catch up with it now physically. Mm-hmm. But my etheric body is almost off the charts in high frequency. And so it's, I know that I'm physically not ready to go there, but
you said that earlier. So here's where I'm going to challenge you in front of all your listeners. Yes, you are. And if you let that get in the way, if you think your physicality is what's going to get in the way of you visiting,
no,
that's
I don't.
Not it, my friend.
I don't know. Tomorrow I might be capable. I mean, it's not like, it's long.
You're ready. It has nothing to, I would forget the status of your carbon based, avatar you're riding around in. That doesn't play any role in stepping into the other realm and visiting.
No, I get it. I just know that I want to be as ready as possible. And they've told
me. Dude, listen, you've been teaching the rest of us for so long. What makes you think that you are not ready and you have not mastered these abilities already?
Maybe I don't have the ego for that. So, and it might just be my ego. So, but they've told me that at some point they want me to be in the city, walking around where there are a lot of buildings, and a voice will direct me to a particular door that I've never seen before. And ask me to open the door, and they'll be on the other side waiting for me to bring me.
Yes.
To bring me there.
Don't be surprised. Let me bring a little clarity to, the idea of, different geographic, energetic vortex locations like that. And yes, New York is no Mount Shasta. No one would suggest that it is. However, there are people there that are going to be able to make those connections. And however that's going to happen in whatever dimensional vortex is going to take place, more and more of these energetic vortexes are showing up. They're not meant to be secrets anymore. No, they're meant to know. We're trying to get the information out, identify as many of them for people to understand, so that when the shift takes place, it's almost like a golden tie zone. We're here, these energetic spots on the earth that are already vibrating where new earth is going. Get yourself there, match the frequency, and you're good to go. But there are areas that are highly populated, like New York and every major city. You think about that. Those people aren't going to be left out. So there's going to be provisions made for them as well. But definitely find space out in nature, and you'll be able to be far easier to connect, because there's not as much white noise around.
No, but I thought so, and they told me no. I need to be in the city. So, because I would love to be in the country for
yes. But you're not done playing whatever role you got there.
I know.
The light that you're getting charged is supposed to shine there in New York.
Yeah.
Not anywhere else.
Exactly.
Right now.
Nor do I expect to go to Telos, because there are 120 cities, and whatever city they want me to go to, is where I'll end up. And you've learned recently about more cities there, right?
Yeah, you know, that was I got excited when I, you know, put all this together and understood that where I went was Telos, and you know what that really represented, who the people that was there, because there had been variations of what I thought I understand that when people meant the Telosians. Well, that's like saying I'm a St. Paulite. Telos is a city, and actually, Telos was actually named for an area of Lemuria that covered a lot of not just California, but all the way to the southwest. So when you think that there's like an energetic thing that you think that you feel in Sedona and even parts of New Mexico, that was all part of Telos, the bigger Telos. Cool. In the end, the area beneath the city of Telos is absolutely beneath Mount Shasta. But what the awakening has been now is to get a realization that Telos isn't the only city in here.
Right. And I'm comfortable wherever, whatever city they want me to go, they know what they're doing.
Yes. To the information has been passed along. We're aware of 120 cities. Many of them are advanced humanoids that are living there, but some of them are not. And everyone gets along and benevolent, and they live in a higher realm. There are four of these cities that Sharula Dutz, the Lemurian that had lived on the surface, had mentioned in a presentation that she'd done. And when I heard that, it made me curious, because each one of those cities triggered something inside of me. So I went back to Midjourney and started to produce these images of what I thought these places looked like. And by the end of yesterday afternoon, I had these 3-minute, when I looked at them, I thought of them as a fam tour. You know what a fam tour is?
No.
When I was in the hotel business, the part of your sales and marketing efforts is you do these familiarization tours. So you'd invite in travel agents and people from all over, and you'd have these things for them to do. Well, when I was putting these ideas of what these places were like, it was like I was producing a fam tour for Shaanxi and Pusa and Xingwei and Rama. And when they were done, man, they're freaking awesome. So I threw them on YouTube last night. They're 3 minutes long, and they're amazing.
Oh, I'm
the responses we got back so far were, they triggered them just like when I started to peel out the first inner earth images I was putting out. Nice. This was like that, only compounded, because there was music and there was like a story to it.
So on YouTube, what do people search for?
If they see my YouTube channel, just Lowell Johnson, you'll find me there. And it was the last four videos that got boosted last night. They're fun. I'm going to go back and listen to them again, because they were fun to make.
That's great. So, but you talked about the people there. There are humanoids, let's call them advanced consciousness. But there are others, and I don't know what others means, but that they're all at peace. There's no strife. There's no conflict.
No.
The media wants to, you know, anything about inner earth, they want to create a war, and they want to have good guys and bad guys and all that kind of stuff. But I wonder, you know, what is life when there's not as much contrast? And, you know, how do you find your purpose when you're not dealing with contrast?
Well, that's a very 3D thing for us to want to understand,
yeah,
as a
exactly.
human being, isn't it?
Yes.
There's still plenty of contrast. We can't live in a world without contrast, but we don't dwell on it, and it doesn't get in the way. If we really believe that we're connected to everybody else, and we are, and that love and unity and compassion is really the way that we engage with each other, we still recognize when we see a situation that represents duality on Earth, but we no longer live in that density, and we're not stuck there with our thinking. We see beyond it. We're more solution oriented than we are to figure out who's at fault.
So they're not. It's not that their society is based on resolving conflict so much as evolving higher understandings.
That's a beautiful way to put it, because there is no conflict. They live in a loving society, and but they're solution oriented to things that are unique to them. Everybody's still evolving. Everybody. There's still more lessons to learn on behalf of Source, and that's what we're here doing in every incarnation. Those lessons have value. That's why mine are different than everybody else's. Those are my contributions back to the Akash later on, and so are yours.
Right,
Those are so that we store them away and we don't have to learn them all over again.
but up here, the contrasts are so strong that
Yes.
it's difficult, and that's why the entertainment industry is drawn to express conflict and all of that. It's too much, and I'm at right now with the visitations I've had from four visitations now from inner Earth. My frequencies are sky high, and I'm learning to, be less absorbed by contrast. Not that I don't have, not that I'm free of it, but that I'm not drawn into the struggles and the craziness that, the lower, in other words, the what the lower frequencies hold. I'm not, I'm, I can't seem to bring myself into that. Don't want to. I don't want to waste my time in lower frequencies. And so I'm grateful to be given. I mean, I don't know how they did it, but in days after their first visit to me, my frequencies were sky high, and they haven't come down yet. I didn't say yet. I don't know if they ever will, but I'm, humbly, I thought, well, that's nice. They're up high, but another week or two, they'll get back to normal. And they never have.
You know, I'm of the opinion, you seem to the times that you've been sharing with me, you kind of meter a little bit and you fluctuate a little bit. To me, I just have this opinion that once you've reached a level and you've seen it and you've experienced it, you know what being 800 is then. And, I don't know if you really drop from there ever. It's not to say that, we're still emotional bodies and this ethereal thing that we've got here. So we're affected by frequencies and vibrations. And yes, they can lower, but I don't think really in our etheric body isn't affected by the physicality of the things that would drop our vibration, and
Yeah, my
something still
vibration. I
hangs on
know.
to that.
I know
Right.
it's very high. There's that old saying that I guess from World War I is, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? And so I've seen Paris in frequencies, and
You
I'm
know, that's a funny thing that you say, because when I started to have these experiences, and the talk of disclosure started to roll around, and whether, this would be an example of that, I didn't really know where to fit myself into any of that. But what did occur to me is that, oh God, I'll get this thought back in a second, because it was, damn it.
All right, well, let me also go on to say that the fourth visit I had, these are very real, because when they visit, they announce themselves by creating a vibration platform under on my bed, I'm in my mattress. And so my body is just kind of vibrating with it. And it's like, okay, who's here? What's up? And the last visit, finally, my wife was around, and I had her feel it, and she could feel it and say, yeah, it's vibrating. So it's not, it's very a grounded experience. And then the frequencies can be measured. So my frequencies are very sky high, and they've been measured by many people. And so I know that's, no, nothing. My own mind. And now the last visit, I was infused with special signals, three signals, and light codes that are they said are now in my light body, and they want me, when I come see them, they want to teach me how to work with them. And so they're giving me a purpose, because these signals, they have a number of important purposes to them, and they want me to learn how to use that. So it's not just being a tourist, not just going there and just, you know, looking.
No, around. You're going to receive some codes, and you're holding them for, sometimes they're for you for later, sometimes they're for the rest of us to unlock later.
I think it's for everybody. I don't think it's.
Yeah.
It helps me.
I agree.
For everybody.
Well, I only say that because once in a while we do get some light codes that are meant for us.
That we need. Our own DNA.
But for the most part, those of us that know that we're light workers, those codes that we're receiving, we're holding for the collective, not just
the
for
light
us.
Work. Yeah, sure.
Yes.
No, I
do remember the end of my thought, though, so let me just finish it. When I first had this experience, and, you know, disclosure was one of the topics that had come up, I thought, you know, who the hell can stop me from having dimensional experiences? No one.
Right.
No one.
Right.
You can't tap that down. You can't put a lid on that. You can't stop somebody from going into a higher realm and then returning.
Right.
And again, I can't be the only one. I know I'm not. I've come across some really unique people that have had some extraordinary experiences. And so, you know, same situation. No one can stop those things from happening as much as they want to downplay it. So we're going to have to see whether really the transparency of everything just throws itself open, or right, whether there's still going to be an effort to try and control us in some manner. We'll see.
Well, yeah, because when we're working at high frequencies, it has its own magic to it. It attracts magic. It attracts wonder. It attracts higher knowing and better results. So that's why, you know, that's why Inner Earth can operate at that at such a high consciousness level, because their frequencies are so high. They don't, conflict doesn't exist when you're.
Yeah. Well, bear in mind that, remember those advanced technologies that used to be here on the surface. Oh yeah, they still possess those things. So they have technologies and the ability to transmute crystals and things that, you know, we've talked about and dreamed about. They still use those in everyday life. And those are some of the things that they're talking about being eager to share with us when the reintegration takes place. Yes, exactly. Think of it, you know, you having your own little Tesla model in your backyard that doesn't just power you permanently, it powers the entire neighborhood or whatever's in the vicinity. And, you know, you no longer are bound by wires.
But these frequencies they gave me are now contagious to wherever I go. And so I know that wherever I show up, other people are, it's moving other people to a higher consciousness, at least while I'm there. I don't know.
Yes. Well, I think about that in terms of, you know, you got greater light. So you shine a little bit brighter. And every time you go into a room, somebody else notices you. That's what they picked up from
their
you
soul.
Without you having to utter a word, buddy.
Right. None of their soul notices it. So that's.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, I didn't want to play that down. But that's an illustration that just comes to me when you talk about light workers and how they're getting charged a little bit more. You leave your aura behind wherever you've been.
Right.
And when people pass through it, that's tangible.
I love that. I love that. So I feel so blessed. It's amazing that my life here is resulting in these miracles. And even another miracle was when this guy was visiting me the last time. He put me, for a short time, he put me into an altered state of consciousness, and I did some astral traveling and picked up new light codes that way. Because he moved me to a place where they were available. And I didn't even understand what was going on until I got back and he was still sitting there. And or standing there, whatever. I mean, he was there astrally, not visually, and we were communicating telepathically, but very strongly. I mean, it's like, it's just like speaking with somebody, but you don't have to verbalize it. You just are back and forth talking, and it was beautiful. And he said, yeah, he needed to do that for me to put me into an altered state so that I could acquire new more codes than I had been. So, because he put me into a space that had these special frequencies and lights and geometries that I was able to experience and come back from that. So this is so.
I knew to some of your listeners, it's going to sound like voodoo, but I can assure you there is a process associated with the things that Peter just described, and they're very real. There is some ceremony to the things that we gain back, but I just would encourage people to open their minds to, you know, the realities and the things that Peter's talking about here, because they're real. They're real. We're just kind of bound in this density down here and, you know, trapped by what we thought we've ever experienced and the stories we've heard. We are not that.
I think a lot of our audience understands these levels of consciousness and astral and telepathy and, you know, all this kind of stuff that that is part of this. And I think I have a very advanced audience.
Well, I would think so. You know, this isn't the kind of topic that you listen once and you didn't stumble in here by accident. And if you did, you returned for a purpose because, you know, there was content here that you connected with.
Yeah.
I hope for everyone else that's listening that they're beginning to recognize the same things in themselves, because I'm not unique to anybody else.
This is why we're here.
Yeah, I'm a little further advanced in my journey than some rest of you are. But you should expect magic is about to come in your life.
Exactly.
That's
why we're talking, because everybody is going to start having experiences that at this point they can't even imagine. So this has been great talking with you again, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon, because it's so important. And Lowell, your website is lowelljohnson.info, and
yes,
Lowell Johnson on YouTube.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much. It's always
it's
great.
A pleasure talking. Always, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'd love to hear from you. And see you next time. Or until next time.